Good morning. I'm glad to see you all made it here despite the white stuff coming down out there. I'd like to welcome you to Little Swatara this morning, and I'd like to welcome everybody who's streaming with us live this morning. I'd like to welcome our pastor representative substitute this week. So make sure you make him feel warm and welcome. I'd like to invite you to pass and sign the registration, register at the end of the pew. And just a reminder, our secretary is on the new side, so she might not understand your handwriting. Make sure you write legibly. I'm not aware of any announcements this morning. Is there any announcements that need to be made?
I just want to highlight that with Thanksgiving being this week on Wednesday evening, the Council of Churches will have a Thanksgiving Eve service at Tri-County Worship Center. It starts at 6 o'clock with a hymn sing, and then worship is at 6:30. Please come out and join us for that. So there will be no choir rehearsals on Wednesday evening. And senior choir will be practicing on Tuesday evening this week at 7 o'clock for anyone that's interested in coming to an extra practice to work on the musical. Thanks.
Any other announcements out there? I don't see any, so if you'd please stand and join me in our call to worship. It'll be projected on the screen, but also in your bulletin. We gather this morning to celebrate the wondrous gifts God has given us. Praise be to God. We gather this morning to give thanks, for God has blessed us with love and hope. Praise God. We gather this morning with grateful hearts for the tables we share with our communities and families, for the fellowship we receive, for your continual provision in our lives, and the gift of your Son. Praise be to God. And join us, please, in hymn number 87, Great is the Lord.
Thank you.
We're going to have an usher bring around a microphone for our joys and concerns this morning. Listed in your bulletin are a list of prayer concerns that we want to keep in our minds, in our hearts, and in our prayers. I have an additional one this morning. My grandfather, Nevin Walter, was hospitalized on Friday. He had what was supposed to be an in-and-out GI bleed and ended up transferring to the ICU after a little while from complications to procedure, but he's doing well. So thank you for your prayers and appreciate continued prayers.
I also have a prayer request. My mother's still in the hospital, Arlene Redmond. She'll be having a heart catheterization tomorrow.
My sister, Helen Serby, fell and broke her leg. She's in at the town center in Marystown.
Rufus Murky, the day he got his stitches out, he sprained his wrist, so like he's 6 weeks done now with that. Okay.
Definitely have a joy that Pastor Matt was able to celebrate his birthday this weekend.
My grandson, Mason Hartraft, is having his tonsils out tomorrow. He's a little upset because it's ruining his Thanksgiving.
Oh. Any other joys and concerns? All right, I don't see any, so let's pray.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you at this time, and believe it or not, thank you for the weather. You control the universe, so we thank you for who you are. And we pray for the service today. May we feel the power of your Spirit. May your Spirit just be felt today in your presence in every way, through the music, through the offering, through the worship, through it all, Lord Jesus. May our hearts be open. And we'd like to also pray for those that are going through difficult times. We want to remember those in the Bullen, the Bryan family, Beverly Diem, Carl Graby, Vera Gross, Joanne Bayshore, Naomi Moyer, and also the Swatara Hill congregation. Those mentioned today, Savannah's grandfather, Arlene Redmond, I believe their name is. These are in the hospital. Helen Zerbe, who I know very well, broke her leg. Rufus Murky. And also Mason. I hope he gets plenty of ice cream in the hospital when he has his tonsils removed. Oh, Lord, you're always good and faithful. And again, we just are thankful for all the blessings you give. But Lord, when people are hurting over the holidays, just reach out to them, Lord Jesus. And may the congregation here just be filled with compassion and mercy and just loving on these people. And Lord Jesus, we just know you're always faithful. And also just birthdays. Matt's birthday and Chloe's birthday was yesterday as well. They celebrated birthday together. So Lord, thank you for their lives and their faith and their families. So Lord, again, may we just feel your blessings, feel your love, and may we come today just feeling how good a God you are. And we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
With Thanksgiving coming up, We think a lot about giving, and with the holidays coming up, you hear ads on the radio for charities, you see those Toys for Tots drives all over the place, and it got me to thinking, this is when we donate. So I looked up some statistics. Averagely, in the year of 2014, in the month of November and December, people gave over $100 to charities. But that also got me thinking, in January and August, people gave less than $80 to charity. So for my offering today, I want to give you a challenge. I want you to all take out your cell phone, because I know you have them, or your calendar book if you should still use them. I want you to flip to a month like May or January or August, and I want you to pick any day that seems good to you, and put on your calendar that I should donate a little extra this month, because donations aren't just needed around the time of the season of giving, around the holidays when we think of people. Donations are needed all year round, and the church does fabulous things with those donations. So, will you pray with me? Lord, teach us to offer you a heart of thanksgiving and praise in all of our daily experiences in life. Teach us to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all of our circumstances. Jesus, we want to be like you, who obeyed the Father without complaint. You embraced the chains of humanity when you walked this earth. Give us your attitude of humility and thankful acceptance. Teach us the power of a thankful heart. Jesus, we pray that we praise your love, and we love you. Thank you for the countless ways in which you have blessed us in this holiday season. May we share that with the rest of your children. Amen.
Join me up front.
Good morning. I like your polka dots, and your hair is pretty cool too. All right, so who knows what's coming up this week? Go ahead, just yell it out.
Thanksgiving!
Thanksgiving! What do you think about with Thanksgiving? What are you looking forward to? A feast! Lots of yummy food, right? Who's going to see their family? Yeah? So what is part of Thanksgiving that we always are encouraged to think about? It's part of the word. What do we celebrate? Yeah, being thankful. We celebrate being thankful at Thanksgiving. So I want to ask you guys, what do you do when somebody does something nice for you? You tell them thank you. What's another way to say thank you? Another thing you can do. Maybe if somebody gets you a gift. You can give them something back, yeah. What about a thank you card? Do you guys send cards? Do you ever think it might be a little hard to send God a thank you card at Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I don't think the postman could figure out where to send that card. What do you think?
We can pray.
You can pray. You maybe put it on a balloon, get it close. Have you guys ever heard the term paying it forward?
Mm-mm.
No? So paying it forward is what you do, and something you can do when somebody does something nice for you. So if you're in line for ice cream, and somebody ahead of you pays for your ice cream, that's a really nice thing to do. They paid it forward. Have you ever had somebody pay it forward for you? No? Yeah, you paid for somebody behind you at McDonald's. So that's called paying it forward. Do you think maybe since we can't say thank you to God, we could pay it forward as a way of saying thank you?
Mm-hmm.
Who do we pay it forward to? A pastor? Yeah. Who else? Any ideas? How about your friends? You pay it forward to your friends?
Yeah.
Yeah? Who else? Who are all God's children that we can pay it forward to? You? Yeah, we can pay it forward to other people at church. What about the strangers behind us in line? Are they God's children too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So when you guys are eating Thanksgiving this week, careful. When you guys are eating Thanksgiving this week, I want you to think of all the yummy food and the fun time you're having with the family, and I want you to think of ways to pay it forward, ways to say thank you to God by sending that blessing on to other people. Do you think you can do that?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right, let's pray. God, we come to you with thanksgiving, with joy in our hearts of the family we're going to see and the yummy food we're going to eat and the fun we're going to have at this holiday season. We come to you to ask us to help us turn our lives into a thanks living instead of just a Thanksgiving on a single day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'd like to open with scripture from Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. And before I read that, just a short prayer. Lord Jesus, we invite you here today. May we feel your power. May we feel your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share from Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? They make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, verse 1. This is really the heart of the message today, because we hopefully proclaim that we believe and we belong to Jesus. It says this: is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? These are questions we can ask ourselves. I can ask myself, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Are you encouraged in belonging to Christ? Do you find comfort from his love? Do you have any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? We come at this time of Thanksgiving. When we look at those questions, where do we fall in giving those answers to those questions? Where are we? Where am I in my walk with God? Do I seek him? Do I love him? Do I give praise and thanksgiving? Where do I fall? Where do you fall in your faith? First of all, there's a slight difference between praise and thanksgiving. That's why I didn't just say giving praise. When we think of giving praise, we're giving praise in the sense we are giving unto God for who he is. For who he is. And thanksgiving is for what he's doing, what he's done, and what he's still going to do. I'd like to share several scriptures. First of all, on who he is, from Psalms 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. There's a key word in there, it's all. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Do I give him credit for the deeds he's done? Psalm 95, verses 2 and 3. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods, lowercase g, the gods we have in our life. He is the great God. Do I show him that compassion? Do I show him that praise, that he is the great God? From 2 Chronicles 5:13, and it was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures, how long, everybody? Forever. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. So we see his love, his steadfast love. His steadfast, that means it's ongoing, it's continue, it doesn't waver. No matter what you've done, he loves you and he wants you. We think of Thanksgiving, scriptures that deal with Thanksgiving. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus. And Psalms 46, 1 and 3, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away, the mountains fall in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. In other words, he's our refuge and our strength. He's our help, and no matter what situation we're in, he is our help. No matter what. And 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety, no matter what you're going through. Let's be honest. It's Thanksgiving time coming up. Some have many things to be thankful for. And some may be going through hearts of grief. Some may be going through hearts of pain. But it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares. We think of praise and thanksgiving as something that we ought to do. But it's not an obligation. It's something we should want to do. It's really all about our heart. One author says this, the promise of God is this, what's ahead of me is always more than what's behind me. Which means life is good in the future. Let's trust in him. Let's go for the future. But how do we apply this praise and this thanksgiving? What exactly does God want from me? What does God want from you? What does he want? I say give praise. I say give thanksgiving. How does that affect you? Where are you in your praise? Where are you in your thanksgiving? We're at all different places. Francis Chan gives a comment. He talks about this. I have the quote later to give, but I'd rather say it now. Basically, he says, there are no words. There are no words to describe God, how great a God he is. So may we just love him and praise him. But what does he want from me? Praise and thanksgiving. What's it going to cost me? Is it going to cost dollars? And sense? Is it going to cost me working harder? What does it cost me to give praise and thanksgiving? Psalm 150, verse 9 and 12. It really talks about giving, but not the way you think it talks about giving. How much can you give God? How much can I take from my wallet today and give to God? Let's see what he wants from my pocketbook. Psalm 159 and 12, I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. What's it saying? Three simple things. First of all, he owns everything there is. There's nothing that you possess that is not his. It's not a fancy car. It's not your checking account. It's not the farmland you have. He owns everything there is. He has everything he needs. We can't give unto God anything else. He has everything. He says, I do not need anything. But there is something that he wants from us. He wants us to give thanks. You know, there's nothing worse. You know, I think at Christmas time, and I'm sure you've all gone through this, if you give something to somebody and they don't say thanks. And you maybe worked hard to give that gift, and they just like take the wrapping paper off, throw it to the floor. They don't say thank you. It's something expected. It's something that you take for granted. Do I take for granted what God has given me? Do I take for granted God, who He is, and what He's given me? There is something He wants. He wants my heart. He wants my heart. And you know, giving possessions, giving on to the church, giving on to other people, that giving is really where it's all about your heart. So this sermon is not about money. I'm not going to go the next 30 minutes and say, hey, open your pockets. No. Open your heart to God and to others. How do we apply praise? How do we do that? First, I'd like to say we need to know Him. Do I really know God? Not totally, obviously, but do I seek Him to know Him better? You know, I'm married 38 years now, and the good news is I love my wife more today than I loved her 40 years ago. We met right down here, Camp Spatara. I could say I liked her first sight, and I think I did, but I didn't love her, not when I first met her. I got to know her. I got to share with her. I got to care for her as she cared back for me. Shouldn't it be the same relationship with God? Knowing Him, how to do that. First, drawing close. Do I have a desire to know Him? I have to draw closer. If I don't spend time with Him, how can I draw closer? If I never took my wife on a date, how was I ever going to know her? We got to share. We build a relationship. That's what we need to do with God. In praise and thanksgiving, we need to know Him, drawing close. Desire to be like Him. You know, I like to, when I grew up, I like to be like many people. I mean, I wanted to be like Superman. That didn't work. Just can't do those things. And there are people I admired. And sometimes they let me down. God's never let me down. I need to praise Him. I need to worship Him. I need to dig into what He has to say. I need to listen to Him. I need to listen to what He has to say to me. Do I listen? Do I listen to what He has to say to me? You know, I think many times in my life that, you know, I didn't listen to Him. I'm sure you've all been through times you did not listen to Him. And sometimes I didn't ask Him about things. I gotta admit, I didn't always ask God for certain things. One of my things that I always struggle with, now I'm getting down and dirty here, one of my pet things that I always made mistakes, and I like to buy cars. How many like to buy cars? How many like to drive a car? How many like to ride horse and buggy? I don't know what you're just kidding. You know, but I always like to drive, get not new cars, but a new car. And I had car fever a while back, about a week and a half ago. Woo. And my wife said, did you pray about it? Ooh, do you know, now why do I struggle praying for a car? Tell me, you know why? Because I want the car. I don't want God to say to me, don't buy that car. I'm afraid to ask. I'm afraid to ask. And there's nothing wrong with buying a car. First of all, that's not what I'm trying to say. The point is, sometimes we think and know that maybe God will say no, so we don't want to ask Him. We need to know Him and get His response in all things we do. I remember one time I decided to coach. One time I coached for a bunch of years. I always talked about that. But one time another coaching position became open, and I really wanted that position, and I didn't pray about it. Because I had pride. Did anybody ever have pride in here? Raise your hand. Anybody ever have pride in here? So I thought, yeah, I can do this. Whew, worst coaching experience I ever had in my life. Because I didn't pray about it. I didn't pray, but I wanted to do it. I didn't ask for help. Knowing him is listening to him and wanting to listen to him and listening for guidance. The big one I want to talk about today is, though, being set free. You know, one thing in my own life, though, I'm saved. Saved is a term some people understand. I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And I am sure most of you feel that same way, that you believe and accepted him. But you know, even as a born-again believer, sometimes things come upon me where I remember some things I did from my past. Not, you know, I'm going to say not terrible things, but just, oh, you did that, you did that, you did that. Like, and it made me realize this, that sometimes the more I draw closer to God, that sometimes that extra ear, that one ear comes in from the Satan, is like, yeah, but you did that. But you did that. You weren't always worthy. You weren't worthy of praise. You weren't worthy of doing this. And I realized in knowing him, I, as a believer, have been set free, and I should not keep on living with those thoughts. If my sins are forgiven, why do I rehash those sins? So I'm challenging you today. Don't be like me. When you have feelings of bad things you've done in your life, forget about them. God has forgiven you. And then sometimes I ask God to forgive me for that, forgive me that. It's gone. It's already been forgiven. Why do I go back and ask forgiveness for things that already have been forgiven? The other thing is about regrets. I regret doing that. I regret doing that. I regret. I'm saying today we need to live without regrets. We can't go back. There's a song, I'm just going to read the words of this song. There's a song called Greater Than All My Regrets. A guy from 10th Avenue North writes this song, and he talks about how at one time, just to give a little bit of background about this group, they were doing so much touring and singing music that what happened is their families were starting to suffer. Like the lead singer said, he had four daughters. He said, I didn't get to see any of the ballet recitals. I didn't get to see any of that. And they thought, is it time to quit? They prayed about it. The Lord showed them what they need to do is just take a year and just take half the tour. Just cut in half. And they were blessed. Their only regret is, why didn't they do it earlier? The song goes like this. When the past, it comes to haunt me. It tells me what I've done. It reminds me what's gone wrong when my sins are laid before me. My Lord, you take them on. Yes, my Lord, you take them on. So if I fail, I will trust your mercy. It's greater than all of this. And if I bend and I break, I trust the hands that hold me are greater than all of my regrets. God is greater than all my regrets. So as the sermon continues, I'd like us to think about that. Think of praise and gratitude and thanksgiving. And don't let the evil one, don't let darkness get into our lives where we feel that we don't need to give praise and thanksgiving. The second thing, as far as knowing him, I also think we need to serve. And not only serve just by serving God, but also serve others with praise and thanksgiving. Do I give praise? Do I give thanksgiving to other people? Do I lift other people up? Or do I sometimes have a critical spirit? If I want to give God the praise and the gratitude, should I not take my brother and my sister and give them praise and thanksgiving? You know, I was just thinking, actually, in between the message I gave today, I thought one thing I would be a neat thing to do, and I'm sure you've all done this already at a restaurant, I seem to hit Dutch Way a lot. I kind of go there a lot. I don't go that direction because I'm in Lebanon, but it seems to be my daughter lives to go up that way. And I was thinking today, boy, it'd be nice buying somebody's meal sometime, like paying it forward, okay? And then I was thinking, oh, who I could buy someone's lunch. I could buy their lunch. A family with two kids, family with three kids. And then, you know, it came upon me the, you hate to say this, the person that sits there and always looks unhappy and miserable. I didn't think about that person, but should that not be the person I actually give a meal to? But we always think about, oh, they'll feel good and they'll probably think, wow, that was a great day. But wouldn't it be better to give it to someone who is not happy, who needs a pick-me-up, who needs a servant, who needs someone to help them? Why should we do this? Why should we help others? Because Ephesians 2 says this, 30 verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Now, a key thing there is you've been saved by grace through faith, but it's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, like you should boast. But it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were created for good works. It's not going to save us. It doesn't give salvation, but why not do good works? He created us for that. It says God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then it says, 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began, he knew you, he knew me, and he created each one of us for good works. In Matthew 25, I'm going to pick up at verse 34. Here is about giving and giving thanksgiving to others. Then the king will say to those at his right, come, you were blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Before I go any further, it says, come, you who were blessed by my Father. Guess what? That's you and me. Come, you were blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom. That's us. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. From the creation of that world, he created you for inheriting this kingdom. And he says, for I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones reply, Lord, when did you ever see you hungry and feed you? When did we ever see that happen? Or thirst, and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and gave you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then he goes on and talks about those that don't do that stuff. Those that are not believers, but he's saying, you, people here today in this congregation, as you give on to others, you are giving on to Jesus. I want to give praise and thanksgiving to God, but I also want to uplift others and pray for others. I mentioned the first service today. One of the things my wife and I had a discussion on just yesterday. You know, we've been talking a lot about giving at our messages where I go to church right now. And one thing that we were talking about is giving. And there was somebody who had a fire. And we thought, what should we give? Now, I have to give a little background myself. I grew up, I think when I grew up, the church I grew up at, I think I was at there for like 25 years before I, you know, moved on to another church. I don't think they ever mentioned about giving. And my parents really didn't talk much about giving. So, do you think I was a real giver? No. I mean, I believe in giving the church, but somehow when people wanted something extra, I didn't always have that thought. But my wife was always one that really pushed giving. And yesterday we had this discussion, and my wife knows that I was a tough person to, you know, give. And then finally, you know, of course I give to the church now, but it was like the extra things. So somebody had a fire, and we were talking about what to give, and I told my wife, we came up with an amount, and I said, I'll go get the gift card. And my wife said, I'll get the gift card. I said, I'll get the gift card. See, we started discussing that. Guess who won the battle? She won the battle, except when she went to Walmart, the gift cards didn't have any. So I said, I think I know where to get a Walmart gift card. It turns out the little kiosk there with the gas station, I thought they might have them. And they did. But my wife was thinking a one amount, and I was thinking that same amount, but she thought that I was going to go cheap. And no, I'll spend that money. I did. But the point of it is, I'm giving to a stranger. I didn't grow up giving money to strangers. It was okay giving to church because that's expected, but to giving to a stranger, that was a little tough. That took some time. That took development. That took prayer. That took my wife praying that I would eventually get more of a generous spirit. And my wife has to realize, and I'm working with her too, that I realize how important it is to love others and give unto others. We got to use discernment when it's needed, when it's not. But the key thing is there, we can make an impact for eternity. We can make a difference. You know, by giving to somebody who has a need, we may change their life. I want to give praise to God. I want to give thanksgiving to God, but I want to uplift and encourage other people. I want to give them a little bit of thanksgiving. There's a phrase that I heard about echoes. And I'm thinking about this, echoes. What we do in this life can echo into eternity. Now, what does that mean? Impact eternity, echo into eternity. If I can say something or do something that changes someone's life, changes someone's heart through the power of the gospel, that echoes into eternity. Also, negative things can happen. What are my echoes? Where is my life leading? I'd like to give an illustration in here about two different kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven. What kingdom is in our life? The kingdom of darkness, some illustrations is this. Separate from God, enslaved to sin, oppressed by the enemy, sorrowful and in distress, brokenhearted and nowhere to go in despair, broken relationships with no answers. That is the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of heaven that is offered as believers. We can be people who have been reconciled to God, trying to lead a holy life with our sins forgiven, set free from the oppression of the enemy, in other words, we're set free from sin. Restoration in our relationships. Peace and joy in God. Do we have peace and joy? Do we have hearts of praise to God? Do we have peace and joy, as mentioned? Do we struggle internally with different battles, with darkness coming in at times and trying to take our hearts? As believers, can we accept that we have been forgiven and we have won the battle? We are in victory mode. Do I have a heart appraised? Heart of praise to God. How do I make an impact for eternity? Several things I like to say. Can we find people who are hurting and lift them up? Can those with broken relationships, can we help them through prayer and restoration? Those who are sorrowful and distressed, can we uplift them? Sometimes it's such little things that we can do. You know, sometimes church, just by giving a phone call, and now sometimes the text, right? Just a little something to make someone's day. God, if we just do to him, praise him for who he is, how we can be blessed. Praise and thanksgiving. Our challenge today is to feel the praise, to feel thanksgiving, to feel his love. As we go into Thanksgiving, you know, it's really nice with turkey and the trimmings. It's nice to think of the pumpkin pie, and maybe I'll get a piece of mince pie. Some of you might not like that. But you know, I like that stuff. But it's more important than Thanksgiving meal, is sitting it down with love people, people I love, people I care about, grandchildren, wife, rest of the family. And knowing that God has blessed me and given favor doesn't mean life's always easy. Doesn't mean that there's all these victories in my life. But can I find joy and peace? Because I know God loves me. I know God cares. And he is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving. Lord, may we just be in tune more with that and just getting to know him. Getting to know you, God. Getting to know who you are. And uplifting your name. May I thank you for who you are, but also what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're still going to do. And the one verse talks about thanksgiving when we're praying, and you know, those things aren't even done yet. We pray for thanksgiving hearts even when things haven't been accomplished yet. Even while we're in the praying mode for things to happen, praying for healing, praying for wellness, praying for financial help. We still give thanksgiving for who you are, God, and trust you, God, trust you, trust you, trust you. God, may we love you and truly, truly celebrate Thanksgiving because we love you. Not out of guilt, not out of obligation, because our hearts are changed and love you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Now may we go in your love, your peace, your joy, and may we just remember to praise you for who you are and thanksgiving for what you've done, doing, and still going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.